Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And it's been a difficult week with Israel observing Yom HaZikaron Memorial Day and celebrating its 77th Independence Day against the backdrop of raging wildfires near Jerusalem. But despite the cancellation of major events, including the traditional torch lighting ceremony at Mount Herzl, I think you'd all agree with me that the Israeli spirit of unity and resilience shines through. Communities across Israel found alternative ways to honor the fallen and celebrate independence, demonstrating that patriotism endures even in the face of adversity. And on the topic of patriotism, I'm joined on the line now by Professor Bill Kohlbrenner, who is a professor of English at Bar-Ilan University in Israel, and Ronit Eitan, who is a PhD candidate in the English department at Bar-Ilan and the creative director of Writing on the Wall. Thank you both for joining me on the line. Professor, if I could start with you, with the fires and all that's happened this week, do you think Israelis are feeling more united or more worn out?
Oh, I think, first of all, good morning, Paula. I think worn out is definitely very, very, very high on the agenda. I mean, as you know, the holidays, Memorial Day and Independence Day, unlike, let's say, in America, where they're separated by months, come together. So there's already that intensity of emotion that builds up. And Memorial Day was an extremely sad day here, I think. And not that people were going to go out. I mean, some people do, but not that people were going to go out and dance and sing in the streets. But there was that sense that, you know, Independence Day was at least a time to feel that sense of holiday as a people. And the fires really were devastating, I think. And just from a personal point of view, I have kids who live in that area. And I know that they were trying to get back from Jerusalem, or my wife was going on the way there. My son-in-law was, his community was evacuated. So this really, really hit us hard. And just one more thing, because I know Ronit has her own perspective. You know, we were so dismayed that this huge, major event for Israelis, 2,900 acres were destroyed. Parc Canada, which we all go to, was destroyed. And yet, nobody knows about this. The New York Times covers Palestinian olives being confiscated or taken or burnt down by settlers every month, and it's a bad thing. But, you know, I think part of the dismay was, you know, again, we feel alone. Ronit, was that your sense?
Yeah. You know, I live in Tel Aviv. Professor Kohlbrenner lives in Jerusalem. And the fires were not surrounding us, even though, I tried to be updated almost every 10 minutes just to see what's going on. And I remember that on October 7th, I wrote the story where I actually counted the kitchen knives, you know, because I was afraid on October 7th. And yesterday, what I did is I counted in my head how many buckets I have, if indeed something will happen. It's just, and I have to kind of disagree with Professor Kohlbrenner. I think yesterday was really sad. I mean, I don't think that people understand how heartbreaking it was, Independence Day, how everything was canceled and the weather was atrocious and there were these fires and everybody was stuck to their TV and we didn't celebrate, you know, everything was postponed. It was very, you know, there was almost like a doomsday feeling.
And I think,
I mean, I know it sounds very dramatic, what is happening here. It's like we're a nation suffering from a PTSD. So everything is just kind of one on top of another. So yeah, the day after we went barbecuing, some of us did. And we tried to just be kind of happy, but I think it was hovering. I mean, it was a bad day. I mean, it was Independence Day and it was a bad day. I mean, we're better today, thank you, but it was not right. It was not nice.
But thank you for asking, Paula.
No, I think the listeners.
I'm sorry, Paula.
No. I think the listeners would agree with me, and they know that they can WhatsApp at any moment, and I'll ask whatever questions they raise. But I think we do have a sense here of how important psychologically Yom Ha'atzmaut is, especially coming out of Yom HaZikaron, and this year and last year, more so than recent years, because of what's happening in Gaza. But I would like to ask both of you, how has Israeli patriotism changed or deepened since October the 7th?
You know, I'll take that first. I wouldn't say patriotism is a dirty word in Israel. I mean, it's a politicized word. So, you know, I think really, and I think this is very hard. It's a difficult nuance for people to get. They're very, in Israel, as you know, there's on the far right, a very strong nationalistic, jingoistic connection to Yom HaTzmaut. On the other side, the Haredim, who reject it completely, right, the ultra-Orthodox. And the rest of us, I think we feel a kind of Zionism, not with a giant capital Z, but a small Z. And that Zionism is much stronger, actually. That's the Zionism that, you know, when you go to the Makolet, you go to the store, you immediately feel a connection. I know, Renita, I know that we spoke about this, yeah?
Yeah, it's interesting because I consider myself a secular person. I'm a liberal person. And I think what happened since October 7th, where I think we kind of took back some, I wouldn't say, I mean, if you look, I go to the demonstrations, and when you go to the demonstrations, you see lots of people with the Israeli flag. It's almost like we took ownership back from that because we didn't have any choice. It's like people just, the events forced us to just say, you know what? We thought we were these cosmopolitan. We thought, you know, people understood that we're a democracy, that everybody feels, you know, that we want a solution. I mean, we do. But it just, after October 7th, we kind of realized, well, just people don't see that. They don't understand that. So we kind of took back some of the love that we have for this country. It's very complicated. I can't say that I personally hold a flag when I go to the demonstrations, but I do feel more, I feel more honored that I'm with these people, and there's this resilience that is happening. So I think that's what I'm going through. And it's very hard. I mean, it's very hard because you see what's happening. You see, you know, all these arguments that are happening between us. So, I mean, I think that's where I'm going, or where I see, you know, the people around me going, where we're reclaiming, like Professor Kohlberner said, we're reclaiming some of our identity back.
Well,
whatever
you might,
it is,
you
we're
might
still
find
trying to figure it out.
You might find it interesting, but and this is a question I'm posing to our listeners as well, for Jewish communities and communities who support Israel living outside of Israel, I think it's also given us a sense of wanting to reclaim our pride in Israel or overtly show that. But Ronit, if I can ask you the next question, I know that you are the creative director of Writing on the Wall, which I would encourage our listeners to look at. There's some beautiful prose there and some heartwarming stories that actually gave me goosebumps. This Writing on the Wall is a creative initiative that gives Israelis a space to express their emotions, their memories, their resilience. Ronit, how can writing and storytelling help people deal with everything that the country is going through right now?
Well, that's a great question. Actually, Professor Kohlberner is, of course, you know, one of the founders of Writing on the Wall. I think that what happened was, I mean, Writing on the Wall was born because we felt like we didn't really have a space, we didn't really have a voice, and we were just kind of pushed out. And I think what writing does is, A, it allows us to reflect, because we're still, like I said, we're still in the midst of everything. So it's kind of hard for us to just kind of stop and look around and see how it affects us, how it affects people that we know, how it affects the world. So that's something that we really wanted to do on Writing on the Wall. And it also just allows people to communicate through art, and not just to kind of spew facts and have people just become enraged, but just understand there are people and people who are going through something. And the way that we try to communicate what's happening here is just to show this array of voices. And through stories, through poetry. I mean, I think it's really hard for somebody to argue with an emotion or with a higher form of art than to just have somebody just argue about things that, you know, they think are happening or what we're. I mean, it's just such a complicated situation, and we're trying to just show the other side. I mean, I think there's enough of the other one. So now we're saying, look at us. We're not just one, you know, kind of, we're not one dimensional.
I think that gets to Paula's question also about unity. And I think, you know, the kind of unity that we're going for at Writing on the Wall is we all believe in the future of the people of Israel in a democratic state of Israel. We all believe that. We don't argue about politics. And as Ronit says, that's the way people connect on a more basic level. You know, it's like me and the Makolet. It's non-defensive. You know, political discussions at a certain point just they break down because people are not willing to see each other. And what Ronit is saying, art, poetry, photography, illustrations, and we also have this elite magazine that we put together called Balagan with beautiful pieces by famous Israeli artists. Those provide an opportunity to be part of something. And you know, we don't agree on everything. Me and Ronit, you know, I'm religious, I live in Jerusalem. She's secular in Tel Aviv. We don't pray in the same place, we don't eat the same things, but we agree on one thing. We agree in the people, we believe in the people of Israel.
Professor,
That's unity.
how do you believe literature, art, what we're talking about, can also help people hold on to hope and identity during such a painful time?
You know, Paula, that's been the history of the Jewish people at the time of the destruction of the temple, which, you know, the Churban, which we commemorate on the 9th of Av. We thought it was over. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went to Yavne and he said, no, we're going to make our sacred texts and we are going to create a new tradition, which is not based upon sacrifice, but which is based upon interpretation, writing, literature. It's halakha, Jewish law, but also midrash, poetry, stories. That's what we do. We go back to the past and we say we're not going to stay there. That's what makes us so strong as a Jewish people. We don't dwell in our tragedy. We survive and we move on. And I think writing is just a giant part of that.
We're going to have to leave it there, but I do want to say to our listeners that I saw on your website, Writing on the Wall, that you do allow for people to write and to respond, and I found it hugely moving, and thank you for setting up such an initiative. That is Professor Bill Kohlbrenner, Professor of English at Bar-Ilan University, and Ronit Eitan, a PhD candidate in the English department at Bar-Ilan and creative director of Writing on the Wall. Thank you both for joining us here on Chai FM.